You are listening to episode 88 of the Body You Crave podcast, the one where we talk about creating safety in weight loss. I'm Master Life and Weight Loss Coach Jillian Lama, and you're listening to the Body You Crave podcast, where you'll learn how to end emotional eating, lose excess weight, and feel amazing in your body. No cheating required. Keep listening, and I'll show you how. Hey, welcome back. All right. So today we are talking about a slightly different topic. And I know I've talked a little bit in the past in other episodes about making it safe for us to lose weight. And I wanted to spend an entire episode really diving into this because this has come up on a few client calls recently. It's how do we create safety, emotional safety, as well as the physiological safety, because we need both if we want to truly be successful and really to have peace of mind as we're losing the weight and also peace of mind to keep it off, right? Because there also has to be this sense of safety and trust around food and around our body to be able to maintain our weight loss results long term. So let's start with physically, how do we make it safe within our body? So first of all, we want to reduce stress. Because stress is what is going to spike your adrenaline and cortisol, and that is often what sends us into that fight, flight, or freeze mode. And so when our body is in this heightened state of alert, it's just trying to make our basic needs. It's basically scanning the horizon. It's scanning for any kind of threat and looking for what is out there that might get you, what's threatening your survival. It's in those moments where it's not thinking about things like digestion or weight loss and burning fat. It's really there is I need to hold on to everything that I have in order to protect me and keep me safe and keep me alive. Okay, so anytime we're in that fight or flight, your body is going to process it, whether it's a real or perceived threat. It can be physical, mental, or emotional. So the fear of rejection, the fear of being disappointed, the fear of a bear jumping out of the woods to eat you, Freddy Krueger in your closet coming out with a giant knife, being ostracized from a community and no longer being part of this community, that is like the same thing as death to your brain and to your body from just a survival standpoint. Because for so long, we needed this part of our brain to be activated so that it can keep us alive. So whether it's that mental, emotional, or physical side of things, it still sees the threat as all the same. And it can be real or perceived. So it can be in our minds. It can be something that's happening in the future, something that we don't quite know. But when our body gets activated, and often if we think about the past and these past experiences we've been in, our bodies tighten. Maybe our stomachs tighten and they start to twirl. Maybe we get like a pit in our stomach, but our muscles will physically tense. And that's what we want to be aware of, is how physically our body is not going to be releasing weight if it's thinking, there's a famine, there's a war, I might need to run really fast, I need to get out of here. It's going to be pumping blood and giving you energy to be doing other things, not burning fat, not losing weight, because that might kill you. I know it sounds very extreme, but this is just how our brain is wired to survive and to survive hardships and to ultimately to really keep you alive. So we just want to understand how things like stress do play a really significant role in weight loss. And so in order to create safety, in order for it to be safe, we have to be out of that fight or flight mode more often than not. We want to limit those as much as possible, though, knowing that, okay, it is a normal part of the human experience, but we don't want to be in it every single day. We don't want to constantly let our brains run amok and our bodies fall out of whack. And so there's also been this debate around what comes first. Is it the body? Is it the mind? And I think there's a combination of both. I think our body can sense things. I think our body stores trauma. It stores memories. And then our brains also have thoughts that will enhance and increase the anxiety and the emotions that we're feeling in our body. So they feed into each other like a loop. Okay, so it's just being aware that this is what's happening and looking at how to reduce the stress, how to create more physical safety, like in your body, physically feeling safe, feeling calm, finding ways to feel grounded and calm in your body, and then also managing your mind and managing the unnecessary stress or the unnecessary worry that we can find ourselves in by ruminating or rethinking, rehashing arguments or issues or problems, or I should have said that, and I can't believe she said this. We really want to be mindful of when that's coming up and how to get out of that. So we want to be reducing stress, and we also want to be mindful of how we can create safety around food. Because if you are cutting out entire food groups, if you're cutting out nutrients that your body needs, or if you're trying to eat really low calorie, and this would be something like maybe 1,200 to 1,500 calories per day, I hear a lot of women and I see a lot of recommendations for if you are like 140, 150 pounds, you should be eating 1,200 calories or less. If you're 200 pounds, you should be eating 1,500 calories. It's like really extreme, really low calorie amounts that they are giving you. And that is a bunch of BS. Because ultimately, what's going to happen is your body is going to adapt. It'll end up in starvation mode where it's not going to want to release the weight because it thinks, oh no, there's a famine. Oh no, she might literally be starving. She might die. I don't want to let her do this. And so this is what often happens when you get stuck at a plateau, if the scale's not moving. And even though you might be trying to exercise more and eat less, you still don't see weight loss and you still don't see those gains. Often it's just too much extreme dieting to where there is not that physical safety there in your body to release the weight. If you're only getting 1,200 calories, you're not going to keep burning 2,000 calories. You might try to create these big deficits, but your body is going to decrease output. It's going to decrease your energy. It's going to decrease your body temperature. It's going to decrease your breathing, your heart rate, these different factors. So it's not going to be burning as much energy over time. And we want to just regulate that. We also want to create that physical safety around food. And this kind of goes into the mental, emotional side of things to where any food can be there. You can go to any restaurant, any fast food, any gas station, any place and not feel out of sorts around food. There is safety. There is safety in eating the food. There is safety in seeing it. There is safety in saying no. It's not done from a punitive standpoint. You're saying no from a place of self-love and really having your own back and knowing what your goals are and following through on it. And so this process is, it's work that we need to do on both our mindset and just being in close proximity with different foods. Because a lot of times what we hear is, well, you just want to avoid these bad foods. So cookies are bad. Just avoid the cookies. Avoid anybody who bakes the cookies, anybody who's eating the cookies, any stores that might sell the cookies. Let's just avoid all of them, right? And we just have these blanket statements where now it is no longer safe to be around cookies. And sometimes it's how we talk to ourselves. It's, I just can't have cookies in my house because then I'm just going to eat them all. I can't even have one bite of chocolate because then I'm just going to go off the rails and I'm going to eat the whole bag. I'm just going to binge on it. That is not safe. That is not healthy. Healthy is I feel comfortable around food. I can have a bag of chocolate in my house and not need to eat it every single day. I feel comfortable learning how to control my urges. I know that food does not have that power over me. Chocolate, cookies, ice cream, chips, pretzels, whatever it is, does not have that kind of power and hold over me. That's where we want to get to. This is the process of creating safety. It's going to get you to that point where you do feel in control around food, where you feel more in control around your urges. This is really interesting. So yesterday, my son was upstairs in the office here with me, and I had this harebrained scheme. Terrible idea, but this wild idea that I could record the podcast while he was up here playing with me. And let me tell you, that did not go over. And so I'm feeling frustrated. I'm not getting the things done that I want. And I noticed I really wish I would have bought those Oreos yesterday. I really wish I had some Oreos that I could go chow down on because I really want something chocolatey. I want something sweet. I would love a cookie right now, or maybe a dozen. But I could also say no from a place of self-love, of noticing like, oh, this is an urge. Yep. And I did have cookies in the house. They were downstairs. There were actually Oreos in the cupboard, which I actually think I forgot about. Being able to forget that you even have food, to have that desire, to have that wanting, and you forget you actually have it in the house, that comes because it no longer has the power over you. It's no longer this bad or off-limits thing that you obsess about. And I lost my train of thought here with that story. I'll probably come back to that later. But there was another time when I went to the chiropractor and I forgot I had a piece of chocolate in my pocket. I don't know why. I just was like, hey, I'm going to eat this later. Never did. And she is working on my hip. So I'm face down. She's getting my back. And then I flip over and she puts her hand in my hip to do some active release technique. And she's like, oh, that's gooey. And it was a piece of chocolate that just melted into my pocket. There was another time recently, just a couple weeks ago, actually found melted chocolate in my pocket because I forgot. I put it in there and I was like, oh yeah, I'll eat this later. And then I forgot about it. How amazing is it that we can have such an at-ease and at-peace relationship with food that we forget it is there? There have been times when I pulled out old chocolate bars out of my purse and I'm like, oh, hey, I forgot this was in here. And in the past, I was that person that knew where all the sweets were. I might try to hide them from myself, you know, like out of sight, out of mind, which is helpful to some extent. But when you are obsessed and constantly thinking about it, when you are emotionally eating and it's filling this emotional need and void in your life, you're usually not forgetting about it. So it's still there. It's still always on your mind and you know where it is. So coming from that place of knowing where all the sweets were, always having a stash, always knowing where it was, to being at a point where there's so much ease that you forget about it. It's amazing that you don't have to try to hide it from yourself. You don't have to get your husband or your kids or your roommate to hide it for you. No, it's just an ease around food. That's safety. That's going to create safety in weight loss. It's going to create safety in being able to keep the weight. It's doing the mental work to really transform your relationship with food and yourself and your body and fitness as a whole. So this kind of segues us into more of the emotional side of things. Sometimes we seek safety in food, and this is often what I define as emotional eating. We are eating to get rid of negative emotions, to distract ourselves, to help us to feel better in the moment. And so if we don't have emotional safety in our lives just as a whole, especially in other areas, then it's really easy to turn to food to feel comfort, or food will bring up this sense of nostalgia. And sometimes it is just as simple as it makes me feel better. It helps to soothe. It helps to comfort. It helps to create a sense of relief. And so what we want to do instead is create safety through our thoughts and how we're thinking about things, how we learn how to have our own back, how to stand up for ourselves, instead of being at the mercy of circumstances and trying to control people, things, places, what they say, do, feel, think, or needing to cope in order to feel better. Because that coping often can come out with food, alcohol, overspending, social media, anything that we use to numb out and not feel emotions. And it can often lead to, I'm going to try to control these circumstances in order to feel the way that I want to feel. And so we want to create that emotional safety. So that way, especially if there are circumstances that are out of our control and things that we really can't impact, that it does not matter. We don't have to try to control other people. We don't have to try to control the traffic or the weather or flights being on time or delayed. We can learn how to show up and create that emotional safety for ourselves. Now, I will also say that we can look at what areas we do have control over, what circumstances we can control that will help us to feel safer. So it is okay to massage the circumstances sometimes. So for example, if you are working in a very toxic work environment where you're walking on eggshells, constantly yelled at or belittled, especially in front of other people, when your boss or colleague has these big highs, like big extreme emotions, and is really high one moment and then really low the next, or if there are these big outbursts, or, you know, and then especially if later they act like nothing ever happened, nothing went wrong, it wasn't a big deal, then it's also okay to leave the job. You don't just have to try to manage your nervous system or manage your thoughts around being in that type of situation. So we do want to look at where we have control, where we can step up, where we can change things in order to make it easier on ourselves, right? If I could just change my job and go from being in a really terrible work environment to something that I really love and enjoy doing, and that's in a healthier work environment, let's do that. So giving yourself that permission of not needing to always control everything though, and not thinking that just changing the circumstance will change and solve for the emotional eating. I think that's a really big one, is just changing jobs won't necessarily solve for the emotional eating. Just like not having your kids with you one night, or not having a certain spouse, or not having a certain commute time, like certain circumstances do not necessarily change that habit of emotional eating or emotional drinking or overspending. So we just want to be aware of how this is coming up and looking at what we do have control over, how we can make it easier on ourselves to create safety in life, especially emotional safety, so that we don't need it with food, but not thinking that the change in the circumstance is always the full remedy, because we still need to be thinking and working on our mindset around it. We also want to be creating some safety around hunger and trusting yourself that you will feed yourself, that you won't spend the entire day being hungry, that you're not going to be hangry all day, right? So it's trusting yourself that when you lose the weight, you will be able to keep it off because you're learning to lose it the way that you'll live it. It becomes so much easier when it's, this is how I'm going to live the weight loss. How I lose it is going to be what I do to maintain it. And it's something that I can do for the rest of my life without hating my life. That looks a lot different than the way most diets are taught, which is do this plan over here to lose the weight. And then when you're done losing the weight, do this plan over here. But you don't ever have any practice with it. And you don't also ever change your thoughts about food. It just is this all or nothing good, bad cycle. So this is where we really want to learn how to moderate, because when we learn how to moderate, when we learn how to have control and we learn how to create safety with food and we trust ourselves around food and around hunger and around feeding ourselves, it's so much easier to do it once you're at your goal, which means that it becomes sustainable. It is that long-term thing. And this is also important because it decreases the freak out when the scale goes up. So it's not going to spike that panic anymore if the scale is up a couple pounds, or let's say it's not dropping as much or as fast as you want. It's no longer spiking that fight or flight or that, oh my gosh, oh no, this like panic that comes up of, I've got to lose weight and I've got to lose it fast and oh no, this is a problem. So I'll do another podcast around maintenance and really feeling comfortable keeping the weight off, maintaining your weight loss. And part of that is also knowing that the scale will fluctuate when you are in maintenance and giving yourself a range. Some people prefer a 10-pound range. I give myself this 120 to 125 range. I normally will weigh in between 122 and 124. And then if I'm 126 or 127, that just gives me pause to start to think, rather than my body and my brain freaking out, which it used to do, I now start to think about, okay, what's going on? Where have I been snacking more? What else has been happening? What's getting in the way? Have I not been sleeping? Have I been drinking enough water? I can now go straight into more troubleshooting mode, because there's safety. There's safety around the scale. This is another big one, right? Like safety in how you talk to yourself, regardless of what that number is. There's safety to evaluate, which means looking at your results and really looking at, okay, what's working? What's going well? What's not going so well? What do I want to do differently? That safety around food, the fact that it's not being taken away, that there is no longer a never can I ever eat list. Food's no longer being used as punishment, and food being taken away is no longer punishment based on what you ate the day before or what the scale says that morning. So there's safety around that. There's safety to stop at satisfied too. Like just as much as there's safety around hunger, there's safety to stop at satisfied, because again, if you get truly physically hungry again before your next meal, you can eat. It's not forbidden. There's so much peace and ease around food, and we have that safety because we learn how to trust ourselves. We learn how to have our own back. We learn how to really change our own self-talk around things like what we see when we look in the mirror, or what we say to ourselves when we step on the scale, what we say to ourselves when we make a mistake. This spreads out into all areas of life, your career and relationships, your parenting. This is what's really important, is how are you showing up? And safety to believe in yourself and the inevitability of your goal, even if the scale doesn't go down every week, okay? Back when I was pregnant and I was at the doctor, I had weighed myself, I think it was like that morning, and then I got on the scale a few hours later at the doctor's office, and the scale was up by 6 pounds. And in the past, if the scale was up a lot more than I would have expected, my brain would have freaked out. I mean, like, oh no, something's gone terribly wrong. This is horrible. I need to cut out all carbs and sugar, and it would have just had a heyday. But my thought in the doctor's office was, oh, that's higher than I was expecting. But it didn't trigger my nervous system. It was, oh, that's unusual, or, oh, I wasn't quite expecting that. But it wasn't this big jolt to my system. And then I actually said that to the nurse. And when I stepped off, she checked the scale, and the scale didn't recalibrate back to zero. It was up 6 pounds. So I was like, oh, yeah, I know that makes sense. And really, in my mind, I was like, the number truly doesn't matter. I think it would have been a big jump from where I was my previous appointment. But in the grand scheme of things, even if that was the accurate number, it's also not a problem. Creating peace and creating ease around your goal and being able to hit your goal regardless of what might happen on one particular day. Recently, I weighed myself on a Monday and I was 122. On that like Thursday or Friday, just a few days later, I was 126. And once again, I was like, oh, that's higher than I was expecting. And so I got curious and I evaluated and I looked, okay, am I doing any more emotional eating? Is there any extra snacking or drinking? What else is going on? And what are some little tweaks and little shifts that I could make to bring things back in line without making any big drastic changes of saying like no carbs or no sugar for the next week or the next forever indefinitely? By not doing a whole lot different, by just looking at some minor tweaks, the scale is right back to 122 the following Monday. So even being in maintenance, there's safety that I can maintain this. There's safety that I can hit my goal, even if the scale says something different one particular week. Not giving the scale so much power over your emotional well-being. And again, not letting the scale then impact your nervous system the way that we often do. So if this is something that you would like help with in creating safety around food, creating safety for weight loss, making it safer for you from an environmental, physiological standpoint, as well as a mental mindset aspect. If you want some help with this, then I would love to chat because I will help you to feel more in control around food, feel more in control of your results, more in control that your goal is inevitable regardless of what little things might happen and shift day to day or even week to week because you are so committed to that long-term vision and what you are creating and what's happening that it doesn't matter what might seem like it's quote going wrong or not happening fast enough short term. So if you want some help with this, if you want someone in your corner who can really help guide you through this process so that there is also safety to keep the weight off forever, then I would love to chat. You can schedule a free consultation at www.bodyyoucrave.com/schedule. And we'll talk more about where are you now, what's going on, and then where do you want to be in a year or 2 years? And we're really going to look at your life as a whole because again, creating the body you crave isn't going to mean a thing if you don't also have a life that you love. So let's create all of it together at the same time. And I promise it's not as big or overwhelming or confusing as we might make it out to be. There's just some simple key steps that we want to put in. And then it becomes a matter of troubleshooting and looking at what's not working. Where do we have some obstacles? What's coming up for you in particular? And sometimes it's working through things like diet trauma, fear and resistance, success intolerance. There are a variety of things that can come up for us. Perfectionism, procrastination, self-sabotage. These are the things that will hold us back. And when we can work through these things and we have the right mindset, we can create safety in ourselves and safety for true sustainable weight loss. All right, that is it for this week. I hope you really enjoyed it. We are going to go into some troubleshooting of what to do if and when in next week's episode, but I really wanted to share this concept so that you can start to think about how can you create safety for yourself. So don't let this be something that you just listen to and are like, oh yeah, that's such a great concept. That's such a good idea. I want you to start writing things down and start implementing and look at what does it look like to create safety for myself mentally or emotionally? What does safety around food look like for me? How can I create more safety and less stress in my body week to week so that my body can function and burn more fat and be more systematized with this weight loss process? Start implementing. That is my challenge to you, is not just to take this information, because information does not equal transformation. If you really want to transform this, you've got to start implementing. So again, if you want some help with this, I can help you, but I want you to start taking even just one step forward. And if you liked these podcasts, if you like these episodes and you found them helpful, I would love for you to leave a rating and a review for me on iTunes or Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to this show. Please leave your rating and review. I love reading those and hearing how this show is really changing how you see yourself and your body and food and fitness and really changing the way that you are looking at your life and the value that you bring regardless of your size, shape, or weight. Here's to creating the life and body you crave.
If you like this episode, then you'll love my free virtual workshop, 5 Keys to End Emotional Eating and Lose Excess Weight for Life. You'll learn the counterintuitive reason why all your attempts to restrict food over the years has actually led to weight gain, and the mental switch you need to flick that'll have you dropping pounds without sacrificing wine, carbs, or the food you love. Get all the details at bodyyoucrave.com.